Okay, ladies and gentlemen, and a huge welcome back to the channel today. We have got some pretty wild stuff to talk about. We're on the Isle of Man today. Funny enough, it's been beautiful sunny for the last 2 weeks, and then just as I came to do the walk and talk now, the clouds just rolled in. So maybe they'll clear a little bit as we are walking along here, but it's springtime and it's wonderful. So we're going to get started with the first article here today then about what the US has just announced, and this is going to send some serious shockwaves. In fact, it has already sent some shockwaves, but we've got a lot of stories. If this is your first time on the Walk and Talk, I basically just save you a ton of time only telling you the most important geopolitical, economic, financial news of the week, filtering out all the garbage that you don't need to know. So, all right, let's go through all this. So the US House of Representatives have just passed Biden's substantial foreign aid package, which includes over $60 billion for Ukraine, but also what they're calling the Repo Act. I thought that was quite an ironic title, the Repo Act, because this enables the confiscation of Russian assets held in US banks. So this is slightly different to some of the other confiscations that we've talked about before. So a lot of this is private individuals that are Russian citizens that have assets with US banks. So the act requires by law the US banks to report any assets they have that belong to Russian citizens. This has got to be reported to the Treasury immediately, where the Treasury will then seize those assets, and the proceeds will be going towards the Ukraine Support Fund for compensation and reconstruction. Now, I started looking into this as to who exactly is going to be doing all this reconstruction in Ukraine. Is the money going to be sent to Ukraine and they're going to start, you know, rebuilding the country after the war is over? No, that's not exactly what's happening. As usual, it's the same corruption every single time. The money is going to US companies, domestically, but also internationally. And these US companies are going to be the ones that are going to be assisting in the reconstruction of Ukraine. So if we take away all the politics and all the emotion and everything else, and we just look at this based on logic, what is happening? It is a seizure of one citizen's assets, as well as the country's sovereign assets as well, which are then being passed via the Treasury to private companies, some of the largest companies in the world, for rebuilding efforts. So what is this really? Well, one US senator has called this theft, and it's also been labeled as illegal under international law. So again, I'm just giving you the facts here. I'm trying not to add anything to this or any emotion to it, but this is what is said. It's said that this is an illegal act under international law to steal someone else's assets and then give them to someone else. But really, that's not even happening. It's not as if the assets are being stolen and then given to Ukraine. The assets are being confiscated or stolen, if you want to use that word, and then being given to US companies. So the whole thing absolutely stinks, and it's not the way that it's being put across to the people at all. Now, another thing that has just come out is that within this same bill, so there's a $95 billion aid bill for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. I mean, they're just adding on countries now. First, it was Ukraine, and then it was Israel, and now it's Taiwan. I mean, who is going to be next? Probably the Philippines, I would say, and we'll get into that in a moment, because that is pretty serious what's just happened between the US, the Philippines, and China. I mean, this is really heating up, ladies and gents. If you haven't seen the writing on the wall and been preparing for this now, I don't know what else to say, but this is very, very serious where we are now, and things are only going to escalate. It's not as if they're going to calm down. They're going to escalate. But another problem that's just come out and it's just been announced And again, there's all sorts of cases over this going to be coming up. The US has secretly been giving Kyiv long-range missiles. So there's now a statement, this is from the White House. I can confirm that the United States provided Ukraine with long-range ATACMS at the president's direct direction, the State Department spokesman said. The US did not announce this at the onset in order to maintain operational security for Ukraine at the request of Zelensky. It's not clear how many of the weapons have already been sent, but the US National Security Advisor said that Washington is planning now to send more after they've been so effective at striking targets inside Russia. This now is really going to escalate. So the statement, I mean, of course, Russia has issued a statement to this. The Kremlin spokesman has said that this is an illegal act. Everything that the US and the EU is doing at the moment are illegal acts, labeling this as economic warfare. And they are now threatening to retaliate to these actions. And they are currently warning all of their partners around the world about the risks of engaging with the United States for anything and telling them to avoid doing any sort of financial transactions with the US. Now, talking of military spending here, I was just looking at the stats for you, and global military spending hit $2.44 trillion in 2023, so last year. This is the largest increase since 2009. The United States has been the largest spender, followed closely by Russia and China, who are ramping up significantly. Now, let's talk about why China is so upset. And again, very similar to Russia, threatening the US with retaliation or retaliatory acts at the moment. And this is due to the exercise, the military exercise in the South China Sea. And this is between the US and the Philippines. And I'm getting distracted here because there's loads of seals behind in the water. Whenever people walk by, they sort of pop up and stuff like that. So let me just focus forward so I don't get distracted by all this beautiful wildlife here. So the United States and the Philippines have initiated their largest ever joint military exercise named Balikatan, meaning shoulder to shoulder. And this involves 16,000 troops. And the focus was on the defense of Taiwan. Now the Philippines are surprised at Beijing's very strong response to them. Why they're so surprised and confused, I'm not exactly sure. I mean, it's pretty obvious why China is upset about this. Beijing has called this a provocative act, and they've warned the Philippines of serious consequences. The US has responded with a statement. I mean, this is where it gets really, really ridiculous, saying that the exercise drills in the South China Sea should in no way concern Beijing. What? Remember, we keep talking about 1984 and doublespeak. Like, this is what we're seeing. There's more doublespeak throughout the video as well that I've been picking up on. You know, it's a bit like, let's say someone came onto my property or came to the house and they started doing drills as to how they were going to storm my property, storm my house and stuff like that. And I said, hey, what on earth are you guys doing? And they say, oh, no, don't worry. It's nothing for you to worry about. I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, oh, no worries then. Yeah, you just carry on with your drills. It's baffling, to say the least. Now we've just had a statement come out from the FBI director saying there's a risk of a major Chinese hack on US energy infrastructure. So you can see how this is all ramping up now. And now, again, how much of this is real? How much of it is propaganda? I can't tell you. You know, when they say there's a risk of a giant hack and they've got evidence of it and all that, maybe they do. I mean, it's the FBI. This is their job. you never know if they're just saying these things so they can get the citizens or the people ready for something like this. Or it could even be a false flag. You know, it's not the first time we've seen these sort of things take place. Because we just have had this come out. Extreme cyber attacks could cause bank runs, the IMF has warned. We're going to touch upon this, but in the background there behind me, that is the lighthouse. We're down at Derby Haven here. That's where Jeremy Clarkson, who I'm sure most of you will know, used to live, used to own that lighthouse. He also apparently upset a lot of people down here because he tried to close off all the public footpaths where I love to walk all the time. But he doesn't live there now anyway. So, okay, so this is what the IMF said then, that the financial sector has now suffered 20,000 cyber attacks, and this has caused $12 billion in losses. Okay, now this is the part of the report that made me laugh here. I'm going to have to paraphrase this because it's really wordy, but they say, well, this is exactly why we need digitalization of currencies, because, you know, all these problems, you know, we need less cash. We need less cash because of all these criminals. And, you know, if we digitalize everything, it will encourage even more cybersecurity. What? Talk about even more doublespeak. So all of these hacks are due to digital. So it's all digital and it's online. And they're saying this is exactly why we need to get rid of cash. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Another big article that's just come out is another country has just ditched the US dollar. Venezuela, who obviously there's been a lot of issues with Venezuela, is intensifying its adoption of cryptocurrencies, in particular USDT, which is the tether. And this is to circumvent these new US sanctions. But it's not just this, they're about to restructure $154 worth of debt. And it's just, you start looking into who's restructuring it. And it's all over the place. Western countries, Russia's involved, China's involved. But the one thing that was a bit unusual, it says, as part of the initiative, the government has engaged Rothschild & Co. as financial advisors to navigate this intricate debt market. Another interesting article that's just come out then on the financial side, a group of 15 financial officials from 13 states issued a letter to Bank of America's CEO calling foul play. So what they are expressing their concerns about is the practice of debanking of Christians. So they're saying that a number of prominent Christians have been debanked recently, and they give examples of the Christian author Lance Wellnow, among other groups, missionary groups who have been debanked, which cut off their funding, which means that meant that they couldn't do their work. The letter demands that this discrimination stop immediately and that there is an assessment to see how many Christian organizations have been debanked. There's also broader concerns around financial discrimination against conservatives, with a number of other banks following similar practices. They also want to ban social credit scores, which I didn't even realize was in place yet. So this is another part of the criteria they are requesting. Now, just staying on the banking front, the Federal Reserve say 1,804 banks actually use the emergency lending facility in the US. That's not a typo, 1,804 banks. Of this number, 95% were smaller institutions with assets under $10 billion. These were banks, credit unions, saving association, and branches of foreign banks. Now, this is where it links in with the IMF stuff here, because this is pretty serious. The IMF has issued a warning here about this level of debt, and this won't come as a surprise to you because we talked about it months and months ago, maybe 9 months ago. And that is that all of this commercial real estate debt, all these loans, is almost $1 trillion is about to come up for refinance. And it said that they're just not ready for it because they were expecting lower interest rates at this point. So people, these organizations are just kicking the can down the road, knocking it back, waiting for these lower rates, and the lower rates just haven't come in. So they're talking about a massive crisis that is about to hit the United States. And it says that a number of US banks, especially smaller and regional banks, are at extreme risk. So that's just a little tip for you there. Be very, very careful if you are with, and again, I really prefer the smaller banks over these massive, massive banks, which I don't like at all. But it's a real difficult one. It really is. In fact, I've got the statistics here. The foreclosure rate has increased 117% just on the last year. 117%. I mean, this is already up. The foreclosures are already up. And this 117% is for the US, but it's not too far off the UK as well. We haven't got the exact figures, but it's somewhere around 115%. So there is a lot of issues coming down the line here. And there was just another survey that came out of people. They were asked, will you ever own your own home? So these, they asked renters. And last year, it was 27% who said that they'll never own their own home because they just don't think they'll ever be able to save up and afford it. Well, this year, that 27% has now become 40%. And it just shows the way this is going. And I'll talk on this weekend's mini documentary production video a little about a lot of this stuff as well. This Saturday's video is going to be very, very interesting indeed. And I just wanted to ask you a question as well as we come towards the end of the video here. I love to talk about robotics and AI and follow all these trends, you know, Terminator, Skynet type things, which I know people think I'm a little bit crazy for saying this stuff, but I really do think that is where we are heading. I really, really do think that in the future, we're going to be there with just how dystopian all this stuff is becoming for robots and AI and all the use cases. And we're going to talk about this on Saturday's video very heavily. And I just want to know if you like that kind of content. I mean, I don't know if you've seen Boston Dynamics and how they release videos all the time. I watch them as soon as they come out. This stuff is advancing at such a rapid rate, and the use cases are growing exponentially. Saturday's video is going to be quite shocking to some people as to the biggest use case of AI right now. But these robots now, unbelievable the sort of thing they do. You know, people used to laugh at Black Mirror, Metalhead, these episodes, or say that, you know, Terminator and things like that. Oh, we're decades off. Oh, someone once said, oh, we're a century off. Okay. Have you seen these videos now of what these robots can do? They are very, very close. So I'd be very interested to know if you like this sort of content, because I will talk about it more if you do. If you don't, then I'll just continue talking about what I normally talk about. But I know I'm not posting as many videos at the moment. It's because I'm so ridiculously busy with all my own stuff and just preparing for everything that is coming. I mean, there are some very, very bad things coming down the line that I think we all need to be prepared for. That's why I always talk about this stuff with you. You've really got to be prepared for the things that are coming. And you don't have to be super rich to prepare for these things. You can prepare for them in whatever way you think is necessary. I'm focusing a lot on my property as well as visas for other countries, getting all these things in place just in case everything does kick off. Because as I've said a lot of time, they ain't conscripting me. No way. I will not become cannon fodder for these elitists that just want war and conflict so they can make massive profits. It's always the same way. So that is it for today's video. Thank you so much for watching. I hope you enjoyed the scenery here. Other than that, take care, God bless, and I'll see you on Saturday.